Is there anybody here this morning that is suffering from a low self-esteem? Is there anybody here that is suffering from a low self-worth? I remember talking to a young man about 8 years old, and he was bragging about how good he was in sports. And he was proclaiming that he could do this and he could do that. And I said to myself, this young man right here, he don't have a problem with it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of a God-centered self-portrait from our series, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of a God-centered self-portrait.
That's the one that has the inner beauty. And then in 1 Peter, it says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting, the hair, and the wearing of gold, or the putting on of gold apparel." Again, didn't say that it's wrong. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's your drive, if that's your motivation, if that's your goal, then you have things flip-flop. Because what does Peter say? Oh, I love this here. And again, I think it's referring to both. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." So, you know, what's God telling us? God is telling us that you need to be the best you that you can be. And if the best you that you can be is making yourself beautiful and dressing up, hey, I say go ahead with your bad self. Nothing wrong with that. But don't forget that God puts more value on the heart. God puts more value on the inward person. And so while you can, you can dress up and look nice and look good and have an evil, rotten, wicked heart. And that's what God is talking about. When you take your cue from the world, it begins to shape how you think about things, how you think about the world. Let's go. I'm going to skip over that one. Go to the next one. All right. I love this quote right here. "When God wants to change your life, he will change the way you see you." When God wants to change your life, he will change the way that you see you. I mean, this is a biblical principle. If you just go back and look at the scriptures, look at Moses. I mean, I don't have time to go through all of it, but just one example, Moses, right? I can't speak, right? Moses had a problem with stuttering. He said he couldn't speak. And God had to change the way that Moses saw himself. And when he changed the way he saw himself, he was able to go deal with Pharaoh, right? He was able to go. Gideon was hiding when the angel of the Lord came to him. And God had to change the way that Gideon saw Gideon. And then he used him in a mighty way. When God wants to change your life, he will change the way that you see you. When the devil wants to destroy your life, he will destroy the way that you see you. Many people, their lives are being destroyed because they're following and swallowing the lie of the devil. All right? Next one. So we need to have a God-centered self-portrait. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about what does a God-centered self-portrait look like? Well, first of all, the Bible says that you are created in the image of God. And I believe it was last week I went into detail what the image of God is. But just think about that. That when God created me, that he took his heavenly stamp and he stamped on my body, he stamped on my soul, created in the image of God. He created me unlike he created any other being in all of existence. He created me in his image. Wow. And as I go around, that I need to realize that I am an image bearer of the God of the universe. Do you ever see yourself like that? Do you ever stop and think that you are an image bearer of the God of the universe? Man, that ought to do something to your self-worth. To think that God loves me so much and God thinks about me so much that he placed and stamped his image on me. You know, I think that even these handouts that we have, and, you know, I give out the handouts because, you know, people tell me how that it helps them, and that some people even use it on their jobs for Bible study. And so, you know, when you think about these notes, something that's in there that I have today is I have each one of these things, what it means to have a God-centered self-portrait, that I want to see myself the way that God sees me. And so I need to maybe put these somewhere where I can review them, where I can go over them every day before I leave my house and say, this is who I am. See, you know, a lot of times, you know, we go out of the house and we got a bad attitude, we're angry, you know, we just got into something, you know, we got a bad night's sleep, and we go out and we got all kind of other mess going on that we take. We got all kind of other mess that we take out the door with us, right? How many of us walk out that door in the morning saying that I am an image bearer of the God of the universe? That's going to change the way that you look at things. That's going to change the way that you think about things. I am an image bearer of the God of the universe. See, and then I say this. I'm a fallen creature. I'm a fallen creature. And when you think about that, because I've got into discussions with people before where somebody says, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And then you got the other person. Well, you know, you're not a sinner. You got to quit. You got to quit claiming that. You got to quit receiving that. You got to quit accepting that. Then it's like back and forth, right? Why are you accepting the fact that you a sinner? Well, because the fact is that I am. You know, and so I want to be honest and I want to be realistic about who I am, and I'm a sinner. But notice, you know, I was telling people when I was sharing this concept before, is that when you say fallen, you know, don't put a period after that. You know, don't put a comma after that, because what does a period mean? A period means to stop. You know, don't put a comma, because a comma means to pause, right? I said put a hyphen. What does a hyphen mean? Hyphen means keep going. Keep going, right? So I am fallen, and I'm going to acknowledge that. But I have a God who loves me so much that what did he do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem me. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Romans chapter 5, verses 6. Harder to work with one hand up here. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength. That means that when we had no innate ability to do the right thing and call on God, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That we are sinners, but praise God that we are redeemed. That as I live my life and I go out and something happens that caused me to get angry, right? And maybe for a second, I forget that I've got the image of God stamped on me, and I say something and I do something that I shouldn't say, then I can always go back and say, well, that's a part of that fallen nature. But praise God, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. And me and God can make this thing up. Next. I'm a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. My friend, let that sink in, that you are a child of the living God. I was sharing with some people an experience that I had last week. I was in the gym, and I was on this machine. And I had my gym bag and my water by the machine, and I stepped away to about maybe 3 or 4 feet away to do something, but I was coming back to the machine. And when I turned around to come back, there was a guy already, he was changing the weights and changing it. And I said, hey, buddy. I said, I'm still on there. And he said, what the so-and-so, 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 if you are on the so-and-so, so-and-so machine, that you should be over here and you shouldn't walk away from it. And I said, my man. I said, there goes my stuff right there. There goes my bag. Yeah, I don't care where your stuff is. You should have been such a... And I said, you know what? I mean, right then, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, let the man have the machine. So I went and got my stuff and took it. Not more than 15 seconds later, he came over to me. He said, man, I'm sorry. He said, please forgive me. He said, I don't know what was wrong. I don't know what got into me. I should never did. I said, man, I'm cool. Yeah, I said, I'm all right. But that wasn't the power of it. That wasn't the power of it. Because when he went off on me, everybody around us that was working at machines around us stopped and they saw it. And one guy came over to me and he said, man, you got to be a humble guy. He said, I don't know how you remain that calm when he was going off on you like that. And I thought to myself, you know, praise God, because here I am with a shirt that says Anchored in Jesus on the front. And on the back it says that there's an anchor for the soul. Because I'm going to tell you what, back in the day, but there was something in me that said, don't respond, don't come back, don't go off on this guy. And I know it was the Holy Spirit, but the fact that I'm a child of the King, that I'm a living son of the living God, and that, you know, we got to let that get in us. See, and so, you know, I'm telling that story not to lift myself up, but I'm just trying to tell the story to help somebody this morning, because some of y'all are going to be in that same situation this week. And some of you in the same situation last week, and you know what you did. You know what you did. But when you think about the fact that you are a child of the King, you have to carry yourself differently. That when I look at my biblical self-portrait and see that I'm a child of God, man, that causes me to live a different way. You know, it's like the lady who was riding down the street and the policeman came after her and pulled her over. And she said, well, what did you pull me over for, sir? He said, I pulled you over because, you know, you stole this car. And she said, no, I didn't steal this car. She said, this is my car. He said, no, you stole the car. She said, this is my car. And she pulled it out and proved it. And he said, oh, okay. He said, because, you know, back there, when you gave that other person that was driving the finger, and then I saw on your bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus, I figured that the person that was driving this car must have stole it. I'm a child. I'm a child. When I see myself as a child of the King, then I got to live up to that expectation. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. You can call me, I won't get offended. Saint William. Now, you're going to say, well, look at this. One of the most ungodly churches in the New Testament that spoke about was the people at Corinth. Man, there was all kind of foolishness going on in this church. And yet and still, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Called to be saints. That you are called to be a saint. And so we are saints. That's why a lot of times when I go into a room, if there's a group of individuals, that I'll say, what's going on, saints? Because that's what you are. I did that one time, and somebody said, no, don't call me that. Don't call me that. I'm not a saint. I said, well, you're not receiving what the Bible says about you, that you are a saint. Now, again, just think back to Corinth. There was all kind of ungodliness, people taking each other to court, all kind of fornication going on in the church. You had, at the coming to the Lord's table, abusing the Lord's table, arguing about who baptized them, arguing about tongues. There was all kind of foolishness going on, and yet and still, Paul, when he addressed them, he called them saints. Why? Because that was their position. That was their position. Sometimes the saints ain't. But that's our position. Sometimes we don't live like saints. We don't walk like saints, but that's our position. So if I'm walking, when I walk out the door, I got to see myself as bearing the image of God, fallen but redeemed by the blood of Christ, as a child of God, and as a saint. That's what God thinks about me. Now, again, there are people who are Christians that are living terrible lives, and they're into all kind of sin. And so God is actually dealing with you in another way. And you need to get your heart right with God, right? You don't need to be claiming that I'm a saint, or you don't need to be claiming. You need to get your heart right. But I'm talking about for those of us who are walking in fellowship with God, that we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us. Because we can't be out here committing all kind of sin and say, well, God sees me as one of his children. No, come on. He still sees you as his child. But what does he do? Hebrews chapter 12 says that whom he loved, he also disciplines, right? So you got another issue going on. So again, I say these things in between because I don't want anybody to walk away saying, well, what about the person who says they're a Christian and they're doing all kind of stuff, right? Well, they're dealing with something else. And God is going to deal with them on that. The next thing is that, I love this, that God thinks so much about you that he put his spirit inside of you, right? And let me say this. Oh, man. God don't want to live in any junk. God don't want to live in junk. Even if you're poor, you don't have to be junk, right? Think about this. The tabernacle in the wilderness. That cost, I had wrote these numbers down at one point, I forgot. But up in the millions, multiple millions of dollars. And what did God do? He filled that tabernacle. The temple that Solomon built, God filled that temple. And that was up in the billions when you look at all the gold. And who told him to build those houses? God told him to build it. Why? So that he could live in them. And so God wants to live in us. And so I need to realize that God thinks so much of me that he put his spirit in me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are you glorifying God in your body? Think about this last week. What kind of vessel were you for the living God, the Holy Spirit of God? What kind of vessel were you for him? That when I go out and I live my life and I see that my body is the temple of the living God, that ought to cause me to think some way about myself. That ought to cause me to want to live a certain way when I think that I'm a carrier, not only of the image of God, but I'm a carrier of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. Man, there's something about that. Something about the fact that God sent his Spirit to live within me. Out of value. You're talking about low self-worth, low self-esteem, low self-image. That if I think about the fact that God has put his Spirit in me, man, that should jack all that stuff up. That's why I don't take my cue from the world. I take my cue from the Word of God. And then finally, and I'll be done on this one, we are more than conquerors. And so that, I've been talking about this the whole time, that you got to see yourself as a conqueror. Until you start seeing yourself as a conqueror, you won't be a conqueror. So as I close today, you remember, again, during the struggle of blacks in America, that, you know, there was a time where, and I go back to that experiment, where, you know, little black children would choose the white doll because they thought that the white doll was better. And so we thank God that parents became educated, teachers became educated, and they started instilling in these individuals the fact that, you know, they were somebody. And Jesse Jackson, now I don't agree with a lot of his theology, and I don't agree with some of his other things, but, you know, I do agree with this right here, that he came up with something. Now, and I got a purpose. There's a purpose why I'm showing you this, right? He came up with something, you know, for the kids to repeat. And so this became national. And I don't know, maybe some of the adults in here now, maybe you even quoted this coming up. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all quoted this coming up. And it said that I am somebody. I am somebody. I'm a child of God. I may not be educated, but I am somebody. I may not have money, but I am somebody. I may not eat steak every day, but I am somebody. I might not look the way you look, but I am somebody. So I want to hear to tell you today that I might not be rich, I might not have the greatest things in the world, I might not eat steak every day, but I am a child of God. I am a conqueror. I am a saint. I am a vessel for the Holy Spirit. I am a person who has the image of God stamped on them. I am somebody.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of The Ant Overcoming by Taking Responsibility from our series, More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, a God-centered self-portrait, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request a God-centered self-portrait. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request a God-centered self-portrait. Or call us at 877-831-5060. The entire 9-part series, More Than Conquerors, is available by request, either by phone at 877-831-5060 or by visiting our website, anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.